Well, thank you very much for inviting me to be here today. It's very nice to be able to speak to a group from a platform in which I no longer work for the U.S. government and don't have to explicitly take political issues into account, and can say what I really think about the economic issues that we're discussing here today. I want to start with a little bit of a disclaimer, because I'm not an unbiased participant in this discussion. I have an actual financial stake in the dollar renminbi exchange rate, and that's because I'm a consumer. I shop at Walmart. I shop at other places too, but I like paying less for goods and services because of international trade. I like the fact that the U.S. economy is growing. I like the fact that it's becoming ever more productive because of the large inflows of investment capital, which is the flip side of the trade deficit. I like the fact that our unemployment rate hovers around 5%, the lowest of any major industrial economy, and basically the full employment rate for the United States. I spoke to a group of students at Catholic University this week about the economic issues in the current political season. And I advise them, when they hear politicians talk about economic issues, to always start by asking themselves, is what this politician is railing against, is it a real problem? Do I recognize that it is a real problem? Is there data? Do the facts support what is being said? Well, the advertisement for this seminar starts by asserting that the undervaluation of China's renminbi has cost significant injury to the United States in the form of lost jobs and exports. It's a broad and powerful statement, but is it true? What's the data? I went back to the Congressional Research Service report on this. Probably many of you have seen it. It was updated in January of this year. It reports a variety of estimates about the renminbi. There's an estimate by the Manufacturers Alliance that the renminbi was undervalued by 40% in 2003. An estimate by the Institute for International Economics that it was undervalued by 15 to 25% in 2003. There's an estimate by Goldman Sachs that it was undervalued by 9.5% to 15%. There's an estimate by Virginie Coudert and Cécile Couard that it was undervalued by 44 to 54%. The CRS, reports that all of these are back-of-the-envelope calculations. None of them are based on theoretically grounded, econometrically estimated economic models. The CRS further notes that for the first three estimates, they're all based on assuming an equilibrium exchange rate in which China actually runs a trade deficit rather than its current surplus. That's a little like Nicholas Stern's estimate of the benefits of early action against climate change, in which he arrives at benefits by assuming a discount rate of zero. In economics, if you tilt the assumptions, you can get any answer you want. The CRS also reports a 2004 analysis by Barry Bosworth, in which he argues that because of the high internal savings rate, which we've heard reference to, in China, that the renminbi may actually be overvalued. Well, we have a range of estimates. The CRS compares China's current account balance, presumably a major determinant of equilibrium exchange rates, with those of other Asian countries and finds the levels are broadly similar. Another important factor, if China's currency is overvalued, you would expect it to run a trade surplus with most countries, maybe not all, but most. But it tends to run a deficit with East Asian countries, some of which have floating exchange rates with the United States, while running its surplus with us. Clearly, there are other factors at work here in these flows. I know we'd all like certainty, but I think that the best we can really say is that maybe the renminbi is undervalued compared to the dollar, but it's difficult to say by how much, and we don't really know what would happen if the exchange rate were floating. But assume for the sake of argument that it is overvalued. Is that a bad thing or a good thing? I'm sorry to say that the answer can only be, it depends. It depends on your point of view. If you're a producer of a product, and I know there are many represented here in this room, if you're a producer of a product that's in demand in China, and if there's price elasticity for the product, then you're going to have to sell more of your product. You're going to be able to sell more of your product if the RMB appreciates against the dollar. If you're a producer of goods for domestic consumption here, for which China can offer a product that's a substitute, a good substitute, then you may lose market share if the RMB is undervalued, making the competitive product artificially cheap. On the other hand, if you're a consumer who buys goods produced in China, you're going to be better off because of the lower prices caused by an undervalued exchange rate. If you're a producer who uses intermediate goods, and there are a lot of these intermediate goods imported from China, in your production process here in the United States, you're going to be better off. If you're a consumer of basic commodities like oil, you're going to be better off. This last factor, I think, is pretty important and not much talked about. If the renminbi appreciates against the dollar, then dollar-denominated commodities like oil are going to become cheaper in China. Their demand for them, which is already rising rapidly, could skyrocket, making prices for us go up even more. With all the other pressures right now in the energy market and oil at record highs, is that really a direction we want to move in? The measures being proposed by Congressman Levin and some others would have the effect of transferring income from one group of Americans to another group of Americans. This is not about hurting the Chinese. The Chinese are hurting themselves by the loss of economic efficiency involved in maintaining an artificially inflated exchange rate. The U.S. is the beneficiary. We get both more goods and services, that's the current account deficit, and more investment capital, that's the capital account surplus, which helps our economy grow and keeps our unemployment rate the envy of the world. At the moment, it's not a level playing field, I agree. It's a playing field tilted in our advantage. Leveling that playing field may indeed provide benefits for some in the U.S., but it will hurt many more. We're all consumers, only a minority export or potentially export to China. The U.S. occupies a unique and quite wonderful position in the international economy. Both goods and services and investment capital are flowing into America at unprecedented levels. Other countries can generally hope for only one or the other of those things. We get both. Measures that would change that are short-sighted in the extreme, and I hope we'll avoid them. Thank you.
Thank you very much.